All right, good morning again. Again, my name is Greg Peck. I'm an assistant professor at Virginia Tech. And I'm actually going to follow up on some of the discussion that we just had from Pollyanna. My talk is Validating the Use of the Malusim Carbohydrate Model for Apple Fruit Thinning. And I want to thank Lulu Chang, who is a statistician at Virginia Tech, Dave Carbaugh, who is my technician who put our treatments on the trees for this experiment, and Abby Kowalski, who did a lot of the data entry and helped with some of the data analysis. So the Malusim model, we just had a nice little background on it, developed by Drs. Alan Laxo and Terrence Robinson at Cornell University. And the idea is to synthesize a large number of different variables into a single number that can be used to guide decisions as to when to make an application for chemical thinning in apples. So it includes all different parts of the tree, including the roots, the shoots, the leaves, and the fruit. And what it does is it calculates a carbohydrate supply, the amount of photosynthate being produced, as well as the demand, how much photosynthate is needed by the tree. So it assumes that there's some carryover from the previous year where you start out, and then it builds over the course of the springtime from the model starts at bud break and it goes through through the thinning season to decide whether or not the tree is in a surplus of carbohydrates, meaning it has plenty of carbohydrates, or it's in a deficit, meaning it doesn't have enough carbohydrates to supply all the different growing points in the tree. So that difference is called the carbohydrate balance or the thinning index. I'll refer to it as the carbohydrate balance in my presentation. And the simplicity of it, or the nice thing about it, the model, is the simplicity of it, meaning that it just has three input variables: daily temperature max, daily temperature min, and then the total solar radiation, not PIR, not photosynthetically active radiation, but total solar radiation over the course of 24 hours. So was it a sunny day or was it a cloudy day? And that's basically what it's saying. But it gives it a number to put in there to the model. And all the data that Dr. Laxo put into the model is based on Empire, on an M9 rootstock, and a high-density system. And most of the work was from Geneva. So it's a lot of empirical data that was used to develop the model. So the blue dot on the top of the map there is where Geneva, New York is, and I'm based down here in Virginia. And I'm asking, okay, does the model that was developed in Geneva, New York, with all the empirical data there, work for our conditions in Virginia, which is different? So like it's been used in New York and New England and throughout the eastern U.S. right now, it's been a really nice extension tool because it's a way to explain how the environmental factors impact chemical thinning. And so it's been a really nice tool, but there's still questions about it. Is it really what it says it's doing, and is it working in all situations? And again, it was based on Empire, which is not a widely planted variety in Virginia. So it's based on one variety and one root system. So this is a picture on the right-hand side there of my website and how I put the data out to the growers each year. So this is just a blow-up of that graph. And so this is it from, this is the an example of how I distribute the data to growers from 2013. On the left-hand side is the carbohydrate balance in grams of carbohydrates per day. And the x-axis is actual days there. It's really hard to read. It's small, I understand that. But it starts at bud break or silver tip, and then it goes out through the time when growers are putting on thinners for fruitlet thinning. The blue line, or the blue shaded area on the right-hand side of the screen, is forecasted data. So we want to know not just what happened, but these are growers making decisions in the field. So how do you make a decision? Do I spray today? Do I spray in 3 days? So we use weather data from IntelliCast, largely because, we use the IntelliCast data largely because it gives us percent sunlight data as a predictive factor. Now, there's a lot of questions about that I won't get into. And then on the bottom, you can see that's the phenology and then fruitlet size. So the orange line is the actual day-by-day data. And then, as was mentioned in the previous talk, they're using a 4-day running average, which is the day of, and then 3 days into the future. So, which also begs the question, why are we using a running average as opposed to day-by-day data, and what is the best running average to use? So this is very similar to the previous presentation, but when you're in a positive carbohydrate, you know, greater than 20 grams of carbohydrate per day, you expect little to no thinning response because the trees have a lot of photosynthate. They're feeling pretty good about themselves. And as you start having more hot weather, especially warm weather at night, or shady weather, and the trees aren't able to have photosynthesis happening, then you start having these deficits, and then the degree at which the amount of response you're going to get from these chemical thinners, which are additive, they add to stress to the tree, is going to increase over time. So the questions, as I mentioned, the cultivars other than Empire respond similar enough to be represented in this model. Again, it's using Empire. We farm, you know, 25 different commercial apple varieties. How reliable are their interpretations at all? And do they fit in different geographic regions? So we did validation trials for 5 years, starting in 2010 with Dr. Steve Miller and my technician, Dave Carbaugh. And we did it through last year, 2014. So I'll show 5 years worth of data in this presentation. We did it on Gala and we did it on Red Delicious, both on a dwarfing rootstock and a high density system. And what we did is we put on applications of the same chemicals, which was 6-benzyladenine, a commercial trade name Maxell, tank mixed with carbaryl or 7, and an oil. And we put that same application on different trees every 2 to 3 days from bud break, from petal fall out to about 20 millimeter in fruitlet size. Okay. We randomized complete block design in each year, and depending on the year and how many trees we had available, either 5 or 6 blocks. And then we measured the crop load on 2 or 3 limbs per tree in July after June drop happened. We recorded some other things, but I'm going to just focus on the crop load aspect of it. And we collected our weather data from a weather station just a few hundred meters from these blocks of trees. So this is the output here. This is the carbohydrate balance. This is the day-by-day data of the carbohydrate balance over time. This is fruitlet size. This is petal fall. And then it's using this axis here on the right. And as we increase here in fruitlet size, each of the dots is when we put on the application spray. And this is the Gala example. And this is the relative on a 0 to 100% scale, relative to the control, how much thinning or how much crop load do we have on the tree when we measured it in July. So we see we had about 65% of a crop load, 70%, so on. And then we can see in this range here we had very little crop load, and then again a lot of crop load. So that's fairly typical. That was Gala, and we see a similar pattern for Red Delicious. So it begs a lot of questions. Okay, so there's not just one thing happening here. There's a lot of things happening. How do we analyze this? So that's where the statistician comes in. And I'll do my best to describe the statistics so as best I can understand them, which is probably in terms that you can understand them as well, unless you're into the you're a statistician yourself. So the first thing I did was, what's the best way of using this carbohydrate data? Is it day by day? Is it a 4-day running average like they're using in New York? Or the old standby was, we always talked about in tree fruit extension, was 2x4, which was the most important. Weather is the 2 days before your application and the day of, and then the 3 days after the application. So I compared those three, day by day, 4 day, and the 6 day running average, which means I averaged those data together over 2 days before, the day of, and then 3 days after, the 2x4. And we found that the 2x4 provided the strongest correlations, but it still only explained 15 to 20% of the data. So clearly carbohydrate balance isn't the only thing here, but that's still, when we talk about apple thinning, when we talk about explaining 15 to 20% of a data set, we get pretty excited. A lot of variability year to year, and I'll show you that. So the next thing did was try to understand what is the impact of these different components on the amount of thinning we're having at all. So we used a generalized additive model, and we combined the data over the 5 years. And the model included fruit size at the time of thinning. So what was the fruitlet size from zero at petal fall out to about 20 millimeter. We used the 2x4 data, the 6-day running average, total solar radiation, one of our input variables, and then we used the daily temperature maximum. We did not include the minimum, which is the other input variable, just because it complicated the model so much it was just very difficult to interpret. And we ran some configurations on it and found that the stronger effect was temperature maximum, and that's what we used. And so the generalized additive model smooths the data for every covariate and assumes that the effects are accumulate in an additive way. So previous effects contribute to the current effects. And so, but it also allows us, because everything's in the same statistical model, to pull things apart and be able to see what the effects of individual factors are. So here it is when we pull it out. And just the easy way of understanding this is, as we go, the bottom here means that we had a lot of thinning or not very much crop load, and here we had not very much thinning on the top part or a lot of crop load. And so this is fruit size, and we can see statistically fruit size was the factor that most influenced the amount of chemical thinning we would have. And we see that right around the 8 to 12 millimeter, and that's classic. That's what's written on the chemical labels for these materials and also written in a lot of the extension books. The carbohydrate balance, although it did have a linear impact, it was not statistically significant, and solar radiation and temperature were not very much so statistically significant at all. For Red Delicious, same thing. Fruit size strongly controls the amount of thinning we have, whereas the carbohydrate balance, getting closer, but still not explaining what's going on completely. And solar radiation on its own and temperature, very little when we pull it out of the model and look at them as far as significance. So the next step we did was we used a regression model and said, okay, we know that fruit size is probably the most important factor. Let's try to pull that out so that we can look at just the carbohydrate balance and see how much that is. We know that the fruit size is going to increase no matter what we do, because those fruit are going to grow. That's what happens. So let's try to pull that factor out so we can look at how well the model is actually influencing the amount of thinning we have going on. So the regression model was crop load equals fruit size plus year, and then we take year as a random effect, and then that allows us to line up our intercepts so that it looks very nice and pretty, and we can see, again, the amount of thinning is greatest between this 8 to 12 millimeter. These red dots here is from 2012, when we had a tremendous amount of thinning because of, that was a year east of the Mississippi where we had a very cold winter, a very warm winter rather, and then a very early bloom and then some frost. And so that's what really drove a lot of this, those red dots. Similar effect for Red Delicious. And so then lastly, we take the residual out of that model and we look at just the carbohydrate status, and the blue dashed lines are statistical significance. The higher you go on this graph, towards the top, means the more carbohydrates you have and the greater crop load you have. And so what we see here is that at the time of application, time point zero, we are significant, meaning that the carbohydrate model does significantly influence the amount of thinning that we're having, or at least how we're the output from the carbohydrate model does, in other words, predict the amount of crop load that we have. So it's useful. It's not highly significant. We're between 0.1, and these are similar to like an R-square on a linear regression, to 0.2, but still statistically significant. So that's important, meaning that, okay, good, it works. It's not the strongest factor, but we do have some data from it, and it does help us to understand when to put on these chemical thinners. So the same or similar effect for the Red Delicious. So in summary, the Malleson model can provide valuable information about the effect of environmental conditions on chemical thinning, but it needs interpretation. I think it's hard just to throw a number out there to the growers and just say the number is minus 40. I think they have to understand a little bit more about all the other factors at hand. It can't just be, you can't start just saying, okay, this is what you do at this number. We found that this 2x4 running, 6-day running average was the best way of understanding the model. But I'd like to say that, you know, even that, and I show it to the growers, that day by day number is very important, largely because one day with a very strong negative carbohydrate balance or strong deficit can take out a lot of fruit. So some of that gets lost when you do this running average. And so it's important to show both. And when we put it in 5 years, it's not as important. But when we do it on an individual year basis for the growers, it is important. And then the fruit size is the primary driver of the carbohydrate balance, of the amount of thinning that we have. So that's my presentation, and I'll take some questions. If there are any? No questions, just applause. Thanks.